Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco is here covering implementation of insider threat programs at federal agencies. Nicole, give us an overview of where agencies are in implementing these programs.
Well, insider threat reform has been on the list of cross-agency priority goals since 2010. It was something that President Obama added to his fiscal 2015 budget. And so it's hard to definitively say how agencies are doing because they're at such different stages of the implementation process. Patricia Larson is the co-director of the National Insider Threat Task Force. I talked to her after a panel discussion at the Predictive Analytics World Conference, and she told me about a few different components of the insider threat program that are still a work in progress.
Social media is something that's really challenging to figure out the most appropriate way to use it in a program. We do have to determine better about the identity resolution piece. So we need to understand that we're looking at the right people, not the wrong people. We also have to understand the context of what we're seeing on social media. So I think what we need to do in the near term is to develop more pilots to determine what is the value of using the information compared to the cost of obtaining it. See if we learn things that we didn't get through any other means, because this is a bit more intrusive. It's somebody's online behavior that they're doing on their own time. So we need to understand if that's really worth the bang for the buck.
To go back on some of those pilots, can you talk about anything that you've seen that's been promising, that's been interesting, different things that maybe you've seen that have worked so far?
Just sort of anecdotally, if you look at certain people in hindsight and you look at their tracks, look at Snowden. So what he did online, if you look at his blog postings, was very illuminating. We weren't looking at it. He wasn't doing it on his government computer, and it was well off bounds. But there's certainly information there of value. I know that every employer, before they hire somebody, probably Googles them. So we know this is being done kind of in the private sector. It's certainly a best practice. But as a government, we really have to hold ourselves to a very high standard and ensure that we use something that's appropriate.
You also mentioned continuous evaluation in the panel. You're getting there. It's something that you would like to be able to automate into the process. Can you expand a little bit on that, where we need to go, what progress we've made so far?
So continuous evaluation is the idea that's idea of doing automated records checks. It's about 20 years old, so this is not a new idea. But now the technology is finally there, so we're at the point where we can get a list of names and run them through about 7 different data sources that give different dimensions of you as a person, your finances, your criminal history, your travel, etc. You run those automated records checks on a fairly frequent basis, and then you get more information about the person. That information then is put into your insider threat program, so you have more data about the individual than you did before.
So agencies, I believe, have until January 2017 to get their initial operating capability up and running for their insider threat programs. I know DOD said that they've been close. They're getting there soon. Any progress update you might be able to offer on maybe just at large where agencies are, how they're doing with getting to that deadline?
It's been a challenge across the government because we've got kind of the intelligence community programs that are very mature. We have some in the middle within the Department of Defense that have made progress, but they're also taking on a very large scope of the Kinetic Insider, worrying about another Washington Navy Yard. And then we have some more civilian agencies who don't view national security as their priority or their number one mission set. So for them, it's a little bit more of a culture change, and that's just a little slower to make progress in. So we're working very hard. We have a lot of buy-in across the government that this is important. What we need to do is answer some of the technical questions about what are the legalities of the program, how can I do certain pieces of the program. But writ large, the government understands the need for it.
And to touch a little bit more on that culture change, and that's something that you brought up in the panel, this idea that I thought was interesting was, so data can help, but there's not one specific data point that will give you, you know, the golden answer. How do you suggest that agencies use the data that they already have, use the data that they're working on getting, and combine that with that kind of human behavior piece that you all touched on?
What we see often is that if you look in hindsight and you do the forensics on an incident, that agencies had a lot of the data points. What they didn't have is the ability to look at them all together. So if you bring the security files in a digitized fashion into an analytical tool along with their travel records, along with their human resource records, along with their personnel evaluations, along with their financial disclosure, if all that's brought into one place, then you have a chance to take some algorithms and put them on top of the data. That'll help you see some patterns that really you wouldn't see if you're just looking at it through the naked eye.
So that's Patricia Larson, co-director of the National Insider Threat Task Force. And you heard her touch on a few different components of the insider threat program that the task force and agencies are still working on. She mentioned social media. And the idea here is that agencies could potentially monitor an employee's personal Facebook account, Twitter, blogs, things like that, to look for possible troubling signs, indications that something might be up. And so Larson says that her task force is still wrestling with what their policies on social media will be. And for a couple of reasons, this is a big concern for them, is the investment piece. It takes time and money to have someone sit there and monitor all of these different things. And it's hard to tell that who you're seeing online is actually the right person. It's hard to tell what the context around someone's posts might be. Steve McIntosh is the Insider Threat Program Coordinator for the Defense Intelligence Agency. He says DIA is testing the waters, to use his words, in social media monitoring. And he reiterated they don't have unlimited funding. They have to look for what that return on investment might be.
There's another piece of it, too, that I imagine is privacy to be considered. What are some of the other pieces that agencies should think about as they're developing their insider threat programs?
So these experts stressed that some agencies already have the right data they need in some situations. They said that human resources actually can play a big role in an agency's insider threat program. Jeff Maley is the Deputy Insider Threat Program Manager at the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency's Security and Installations Directorate. And his suggestion was collect human resources data first, analyze it, and then present it to your leadership as a way to justify the insider threat program. What I was hearing was that a lot of the civilian agencies, and this is something that Larson touched on, the buy-in from their top leadership is something that they've been struggling with, knowing that this is going to require a good amount of funding to get these insider threat programs off the ground. So the other piece that Larson touched on, human behavior, how do you test someone's loyalty to an organization? And then once they leave, the same question. And she said that analyzing human behavior and combining that with the records that they already have about you, for example, financial information, criminal and employment records, will help you kind of analyze the full picture. McIntosh says the DIA actually has a human psychologist on his insider threat team that looks at all of this. And like I mentioned, agencies are struggling to get the go-ahead from top leaders on some of these programs, especially civilian agencies. Maley says that when a new director came on board at his agency, the first thing he did was brief him on the status of the insider threat program. His argument is, you should be interested in this. You should think that this is important because this is your program. These are your employees and this is your agency. And so getting that buy-in from top leadership is key.